First reading comes from the 16th chapter of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Word of God, word of life. The second reading comes from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, 'When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people.' When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
We are in our little side trip into the Gospel of John for the next few weeks. So the Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. "So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to perform the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him who God has sent.' So they said to Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may believe, see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. The ministry of Jesus makes it very clear that feeding people is important. It was so important to the early Christians that the feeding of the thousands is the most frequently told story in the Gospels. Jesus shows how important it is to care for people's basic physical needs throughout his life and ministry by feeding people and healing people everywhere that he goes. In fact, eating with people, sharing a meal, and feeding people, those were central to Jesus' work in the world. And he tells his disciples to do the same. "You give them something to eat." That's my favorite line that Jesus says to the disciples. "You give them something to eat." It's this direct call to follow Jesus, to keep doing what he did. But in the Bread of Life discourse, which is this section of John that we're supposed to be in Mark, but we take this little side trip over to John for a few weeks to read through the Bread of Life discourse. In this section of John, Jesus points us to something more than daily bread. All of the feeding and healings that lead up to these verses in John, those things are why the crowd is relentlessly following Jesus. But Jesus tells them that he actually has more to offer them. Not only bread that they can eat, but that will run out and will grow stale and moldy, but also other life-giving gifts, gifts that will last forever. And the crowd is intrigued. They're definitely interested. And the first thing they ask is, "So what do we have to do to get that?" And this is an important misunderstanding, which is a pattern in John, people misunderstanding Jesus. The woman at the well thinks Jesus is offering her a drink when he talks about life-giving water. And Nicodemus thinks Jesus means a physical rebirth. The religious leaders think Jesus is going to tear down the temple and build it back up with bricks and stones. And here, the crowds misunderstand Jesus in two ways. First of all, they think he's talking about some magical baked goods that last forever. And second, they think that the work of God is something that they can do to make themselves worthy. Something that they can do to make themselves worthy of what God offers. But the good news is that God provides. That's just what God does. Just like God provided manna in the wilderness, God continues to provide daily bread. Not only feeding all those people gathered on the hillside with Jesus, but also providing enough resources for all people to be fed today. God's good creation provides more than enough for everyone. And God provides more than just basic sustenance. God provides love, value, and purpose for our lives. God just gives us those things. So what do we have to do to be good enough? To be worthy of that love or that God-given value? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God already loves you. God already accepts you, values you. More than that, God cherishes you. And that love, that value, it doesn't have to be earned. It's just given to you. All you have to do is believe it. Now, I tend to get a little squirmy at the just believe in Jesus language. It's been very abused over the years. Sometimes it's turned into a litmus test, like, do you believe enough? Or do you believe the right things? Which means, do you believe what I believe? Right? And sometimes it can get so twisted that people think if something bad happens to you, then it's because you don't believe enough, which is just crazy. So I tend to shy away from that kind of language. But the point here is not some sort of test. Jesus isn't giving the people a to-do list, like, once you believe, then I'll give you the bread of life. No. Jesus is telling them that what they need has been given to them by God. Just like God freely gave them the manna in the wilderness, and all they had to do was scoop it up. Just like God gave Jesus enough food to feed everyone who was gathered on the hillside, and all they had to do was eat it. God also offers these forever things, like love and God-given value and worth and a life of purpose and meaning as we share the gifts that we've been given. All of that has been given to us, and all we have to do is believe it. There's another thing I hate about the believe it language. People sometimes equate belief with a lack of doubt, which is not true. If belief means you never doubt, then I don't stand a chance because I have always questioned and wondered and doubted my whole life. But if the story of St. Thomas teaches us anything, it's that God does not condemn our doubt. God comes and meets us in it. God makes a special trip to meet us, smack dab in the middle of it. God did not abandon Thomas. God did not abandon the Israelites who doubted and complained for 40 years in the wilderness. God continued to care for them, to guide them, and to provide for them. So this call to believe is not a call to never doubt. It's a call to lean on the one who holds us. Like a child held by a loving adult, all we have to do is be held. The good news is that God provides for our daily bread. God cares about our physical needs and provides resources to meet those needs. And we are called to share those resources, to do what we can so that all are provided for. The good news is that God provides for more than that daily bread, not just our survival, but a fullness of life and forever life. And God gives it freely. We are loved completely, unconditionally, without exception, and beyond measure. We are valued. We have immeasurable worth because we are cherished by God, our Creator. And our lives, they have meaning and purpose, because we have been called to the life-giving work of sharing that love, sharing the good news of God's love with all the people in our lives and in everything that we do. All of this has been given to us. Daily bread, love, value, purpose. All of these life-giving and life-sustaining gifts. We are simply invited in to believe that God can and will provide for us. Always. Thanks be to God. Amen.